We're talking about evangelism today. And when we start talking about evangelism, and when I've been doing this a long time, when you start a message saying you're going to talk about evangelism, it's a pretty underwhelming response typically. It's not something that people get overly excited about because they feel guilt. You feel guilt. You feel inadequate. You think about the ways that you failed in the past. I haven't been active in sharing my faith. And all the excuses run through your head too. Well, yeah, but you don't know my circumstances. You know, I work from home. I don't see anybody, or I'm limited in what I can say and people I can see. And it makes us defensive towards God in a way. Like I don't want to hear these things. I don't want to be made to feel that way. But listen, what if sharing your faith wasn't that difficult? What if it wasn't so hard to do? What if we could break the stigma of evangelism? You know, I think because there is a stigma. And I think one of the problems first is we don't even understand the word. I mean, what does evangelism itself mean? You know, evangelism is the exact same root word as good news, as gospel. You know, gospel means good news. What was the gospel? I mean, good news is Jesus Christ, through his life, his death, and his rising from the dead, has won a way for you and I to go to heaven. Amen? That's the message. That's the good news. Well, there's a new covenant now, right? You don't have to fear even dying itself because you know where you're headed. That is good news. Look at somebody and say, good news. That is good news, man. What could be better than that, right? This is good news. Well, again, that's the same root word. It's the same root word that we have for evangelism. In the Greek, the word gospel is pronounced euangelion. Euangelion. The word evangelist is euangelistes. It's the exact same word. It's good news. In other words, an evangelist is a spreader of good news. You're an evangelist. You're a spreader of good news. Most of us, one of the big problems we have is we don't think we have good news to share, right? Or certainly we act like it. We say it, but when we're living our lives, we act like it's not good news, right? You have the best news to share with anyone that you know, the hope of Jesus Christ. Amen? But man, we struggle with that. So we want to break that stigma this morning. Man, we want to see. I mean, our mission as a church, as Bridge City, is we exist wide. If you see this next slide, right? This is our mission statement. We exist that as many people as possible. Let's read it together. Ready? We exist. All right, now let's say it again, but not like I'm back in the Catholic Church. All right? Can you say it with some conviction? Do you believe this? This is out of Matthew 28, okay? Let's try it again. We exist so that... Right, we exist for the purpose that people would begin and become. Begin a relationship with God. That is why we're here. That is why we exist. I mean, if it was just about you going to heaven, if that's all that this was about with Jesus coming... Then listen, we could get you saved, and then you could just die. You could just die and go to heaven. God didn't design it that way. He didn't say get saved, die, and go to heaven. He said, no, I want you to give your life to me, and then you are going to share it with the next person. That's the point. We are here. We exist that people could find hope in Jesus Christ and become fully devoted followers. That is why we're here. Last weekend, my family was away. We went away, and we were up at a Hook Forest State Park. And while we were there, where we were staying, I was totally, we were all totally disconnected from the World Wide Web. It was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing. Again, just being disconnected. It was so healthy. It was so good to not be connected. And I'll tell you, I travel to the third world. Many of you know, I go a lot. I was more disconnected there than I was in the third world. And it was so good. And the thing, here's the point. I was telling everybody, how was your weekend? I just tell them, I had no internet. It was beautiful. It wasn't the weather. It wasn't the river. It was that. I had no internet. It was a great thing because of what I didn't have. But here's the point. When you have a great experience, you share it. You share it. You can't help it. You can't help it. You ask me about my weekend. I'm telling you how good it was. not being able to talk to any of you, right? It was a beautiful thing. But you see, you're excited, you're surprised. It's, I share it. Nobody has to tell you. You find a new pizza place in town, let me tell you about where I had pizza, right? If we could go around the room right now and have everybody share, where's your favorite pizza place? And we'd do it with excitement. Right? We'd do it, why? Because it's just in you. It's in you. See, and the thing is, we got to see there's good news that we have in Jesus Christ. And what we want to do today is that we want to break some of this stigma, begin to break this stigma that goes with sharing faith. We would see, man, this is, you have a life-giving message. A life-giving message that should change you. And God, help us today to see what evangelism really is. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and God, we're asking right now, Lord, you enlighten us. God, let us see what you're speaking in John chapter 1 and Luke chapter 14. God, open us up that we could see and hear what you are speaking. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen, amen. Let's turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and this is in the 35th verse, and it's the beginning. Jesus is just coming on the scene here, right? At the beginning of his ministry, and we're going to pick it up. It says, the following day, John, that's John the Baptist, was again standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, look, there is the Lamb of God. When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Okay, so what's going on? Well, John the Baptist, many of us know, he was a forerunner of Jesus. He was actually a cousin. He was a cousin, and he was a forerunner. His job was to prepare the way for the Messiah. The Messiah was the one that the Jews had been waiting for hundreds of years, for this Messiah to come to set them free, right? And they didn't know, they didn't totally understand what that meant. They thought it meant Rome was going to be overthrown and they'd all be restored to political power also, right? And so that's what John's job was. And so John sees Jesus come up in this moment in time. And we know one of these guys was Andrew. All right, and he says, hey, behold the Lamb of God. Now, the Lamb of God, in the Old Testament, there's references to him being, the Messiah being a sacrificed lamb. John would have known that. Now, the disciples probably knew, like the two guys that heard him say that, they had some reference of he's probably referring to the Messiah. But they wouldn't know what that meant. We know they wouldn't know what that meant because when Jesus died, they still didn't get it, right? If you remember the story, they didn't totally understand it, but they were curious. There was a curiosity inside of them. Okay, so what it says that they followed Jesus. Next slide, verse 38. It says, Jesus looked around, saw them following. What do you want? He asked them. They replied, Rabbi, where are you staying? Come and see, he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. Isn't it interesting, again, the first things we see Jesus having said in the book of John are, what do you want, and come and see? What are you looking for? And he didn't answer them directly. He said, come. Come and see. Jesus set an example of, I believe, how we are all to share our hope in Jesus Christ. Just tell them, come and see. These guys were curious. They knew Jesus was something, but they didn't know what, right? And there's some of us in this room, we're still saying, I know Jesus is something, but I'm not sure what, right? Well, that's what we got to go forward. We got to go ask. Jesus says, come and see. Come and see. And it says he began to share. Jesus set this example for us. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't answer no for them? This is what I mean. Listen, so often I believe we answer no for people. You look at someone in Aldi's and you decide they don't want to hear. You look at them and say that they're the last person that wants to come to church. I'm not going to invite them anything, right? We say no for people. Jesus didn't say no. Jesus didn't say, oh, you know, you guys are really busy. You're following John. He said, no. Come and see. You want to know what's up? Come and see. Come and see. See, we can learn something from that, can't we? Don't say no. For people, right? Just we want to invite. I want to follow Jesus' example. Let's go forward. Next verse, verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of those men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. We know one of the two guys that went. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We found the Messiah," which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet him. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. Okay, so we see here that Jesus invited them, and what does Andrew do? Andrew goes and invites his brother. He goes, and actually, as we see through the book of John, the first five people came really just by invitation. We see that's listed. They were invited. We found something here. Come and see. Come and see what's going on. Again, what are they seeking? Now, again, they didn't totally understand it, but they said, come and take a look. Come and take a look. He said here, we found the Messiah. Really a bold statement that most of us, if we heard that, we wouldn't believe it, but would probably go and see. Would go and see. I got to know. I got to find out what is this? Who is this guy? Man, wouldn't it be a great reputation to have as a church family, as a place where people are just invited, come and see? To have that reputation. You know, this is an inviting atmosphere. Like people, hopefully those who are with us for the first time today, you were greeted warmly and loved. We hear that all the time. You know, people, they feel welcome and loved, okay, when they walk in here. Right, great. But wouldn't it be great if the people outside know, man, if you encounter those people, they just invite you all the time. You're saying, well, that sounds a little aggressive. No, it's not. Just invite. Just invite them, right? Come and see. Come and see for yourself. Don't say no for people. Don't say no. Invite them into the party. Invite them into the party. Okay, that's what we want. Okay, because remember, everybody is searching for meaning. Everyone. We're searching. They're looking. There is a hole inside of every one of us that only God can fill by his presence. How many have found that out? How many of you spent years trying to find meaning until you found Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. Years trying to find where's meaning, right? Until you found the truth. Man. And you're saying, remember, when you think about this, it's almost always a person that invites you. Now, in the age we live, some of you came here because you found us on the internet, okay? Some of you may have come to Jesus because you listened to an evangelist on television, a sharer of good news, right? But the vast majority of us came to Jesus because of a personal invitation. A personal invitation. That is why you're here. I mean, my wife and I, Dawn and I, who's serving down the lower level with kids today, we are here, we're serving Jesus because my brother Rick, Pastor Rick, who's the head pastor, kept inviting us to a meeting. Kept inviting us, come. And finally, again, now for me, I was testing him, right? Because he was all excited and I was waiting for it to wear off. And it didn't wear off. I'm like, there's something there. And I was a searcher. I was a searcher. I knew there had to be more in life. I was one, I knew God was the answer, but I didn't know what that meant. Maybe you can relate to that. I knew God was the answer, but what's that mean? I don't know what it means, because in my church experience, I didn't see it. And finally, when I saw this thing didn't wear off, Dawn and I were engaged at the time, and I told Dawn, I said, basically, I don't know about you, but I'm going to find out what that is. Because I think this might be what I've been looking for. Just because I saw just the way the excitement, this excitement he had that didn't wear off. He was a teenager at the time. Right? But I saw that. And how many of you came to Christ because of a personal invitation to go and investigate? Raise your hand. Almost all of us. You come because of a personal invitation. Come and see. Come and see. It says, aren't you glad somebody took the risk to invite you? Aren't you glad? Amen. Where would you be otherwise? Where would we be if someone did not invite us? You know, Outreach Magazine at this time says 75% of people will come to church if they're invited. 3 out of 4. Wow. I don't care if it's 1 out of 4. People will come if they're invited by a friend, by someone they care for. I just think we just need to be bold with it. I just ask. Just ask, as we will see as we go through the message here. Man, this is how we come forward. You know, and this is what we need to catch too, though. See, there's way more at stake here than just a simple invitation to come to a meeting here, right? But anyway, let's just go forward. Verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Come follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, we found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nazareth, exclaimed Nathanael. Can anything good come from Nazareth? What's Philip's reply? Come and see for yourself. Come and see. Is there a next slide? Okay, there it is. Little, but last line. Come and see for yourself. Right? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? How many of you when you were first invited to church were like, last thing I'm doing is going to church on Sunday morning? Right? There's some of us like this. Like, I'm not going to church. You call that fun and exciting? Are you kidding? Right? Fun was Saturday night. Good Sunday is sleeping till noon. Right? You were like Nathanael here. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of church? Come and see. Come and see. Invite. Because again, there's a lot at stake here. We're going to switch over to Luke chapter 14. And in the text here, what is happening is Jesus was invited to a Pharisee's home. You know, one of the Jewish leaders, leader of the synagogue. Not all the Pharisees were evil. You can read the Gospels and kind of get that idea. All right, there were some that, again, they were really trying to find God in the midst of all this. And he was in this meeting, and he was sharing with them about humility. He was sharing with them about opening up their homes and their meals to anybody and everybody. Open up your meal to the homeless your home to the homeless person, right? Because they can't pay you back, right? And in the midst of that, it was a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, what a blessing it'll be to attend the banquet in the kingdom of God. It looks like he was making reference to the future, about being in heaven, how good it will be. And Jesus takes advantage of the moment and gives us a parable of the kingdom of God, of the kingdom of God. Let's read through this and see what it says. Okay, in verse 16, Jesus replied with a story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. Okay, so what's happening? Okay, in the time the story was told, a man's going to throw a party. He's going to have a big celebration. You send out an invitation, you RSVP. It's a little like a wedding these days. Okay, you send out the invitation, people RSVP. And then when the time gets close, they send out another invitation. Okay, and they send out another invitation. Say, hey, time's ready. Okay, because so many of us can't keep a calendar. Okay, I'm guilty too, all right? They send out an invitation. They remind you, hey, it's happening. It's time to come. Time to come to the banquet. And what happens in verse 18? Verse 18. They all began making excuses. One said, I've just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 pairs of oxen. I want to try them out. Please excuse me. Another said, I just got married, so I can't come. So they all RSVP'd, all right? But now that it's time, they don't want to go. And it sounds like they have some good reasons, right? I have a business. It's busy. I know that one, right? I'm busy. You know, I mean, I have a wife. There's some things I got to do there, right? There's things that sound like very good excuses. But again, remember, this is a parable. It's referring to the kingdom. And really, it was really an aggressive parable. Because really, he's referring to the Jews. He's referring to the Jewish people that he's now sitting in their home. And he's saying, hey, you all responded to the invitation. But now that Jesus is here, the one to celebrate, you don't want to come. You don't want to come. Right? You don't want to come. You said you'd come, but now you're not. You don't want to. You have reasons. Man, and when I think about this in context for us in 2022, even as Christians, how many of us say, God, yep, here I am. Here I am, God. Send me. Tell me what you want. And God says, okay, well, I want you to be a part of so-and-so's life. I want you to be part of a small group that you can give yourself away. I want you to put yourself in positions to be challenged. And we're like, too busy, I can't come. Maybe later, maybe when it fits my schedule. Maybe when it fits my schedule, then I'll be able to do it. Do you see what's happening here? Right? Do you see what's happening? Jesus is painting a picture for them. So the people are saying no. Verse 21, the servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious. Catch that word, furious, right? What's it mean? Fixed anger. fix that. The master is angry. What do you mean they're not? For one, it's had to fund some weddings. It really ticks me off when people RSVP and I pay for their meal and they don't come, right? Anybody know that feeling? I paid for them and they didn't come. I'll never invite them again. Right? That's what runs through your get. You're angry. How many of us say, yes, I'm yours, but man, when it's time, and again, what does that do to God? So here, you say, this is Jesus speaking. Master's furious and said, go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town, invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Now, what's interesting here again is if you catch the context, he's speaking to these Jewish leaders. And in the Old Testament, with the scriptures mentioned here on the slide, take a picture of the slide if you want. Okay, that's where it says that the crippled weren't allowed in the temple. They weren't allowed in. Okay, but Jesus said, okay, look, you guys don't want to come? I'm going to go get the people that you said couldn't come. I'm going to go get them. Go tell them to come. Get all them to come. Invite them. They said they'd come and they don't mean it. Go find people. Fill the house. Fill the house. Go invite them. Go invite them. Catch that. Man, so that's the solution. The solution is go find people who want to come. The people who said they wanted to be here and aren't, we're not going to worry about them. Let's go find those that want to be. Let's go forward. Verse 22. After the servant had done this, he reported, there's still room for more people. So his master said, go out into the country lanes, behind the hedges, urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be filled. Like, again, catch the narrative here. God has invited. He's invited you and I. He's invited us who say we're followers of his. And again, if we're not going to respond, he's saying, look, okay, you don't want to come? Fine. I'm going to find other people. I'm going to find other people. And I'm going to find those that you think I'd never receive. I'm going to find those that you wouldn't even invite. And we're going to invite them. Go invite them into the house. All right? And he said, but there's still room. He said, there's still room. Go invite more. He said, go behind the hedges. He says, find the ones in the lane, find the ones that are right in front of you, but even go and dig those. Find the ones in the gutter, all right? Go find them. Invite them in because I want to celebrate. I want to celebrate. I have something to celebrate. He's a good God. He wants us to have a celebration with you and I, and he's looking for people who want to be there. And what's our role? Well, we're the servant. Go and invite. Urge them, come and see, come and see. And you say, but I don't have all the answers. When they ask questions about what's going to happen, you say, but you just come and see. I can't explain what happens in that place. That's a good thing. I don't know what's going to happen every week. Isn't that a good thing? Right? Come and see. See, so the thing is, you don't have to worry about having all the answers. Tell them, come and see. They're going to have a supernatural experience. I absolutely believe that. If you invite people into this environment, they're going to be thirsty for more. Amen? That's what we believe. That's what I see. That's what I've witnessed. So our responsibility is to fill the house. Fill the house of God. I see empty seats. I think there's some people out there who don't know Jesus, right? So what do? We just invite people to hear good news. If they don't want to hear it, what did the master tell them to do? Go invite some more people. Do you worry about the ones that say no? No. So go find people. See, we got to remember that we're here strategically. You live, as a follower of Jesus Christ, wherever you're planted, you live there strategically. You're there to share good news and hope with the people around you, right? We as a church family, Bridge City, we're in four different locations. We're here in Brighton Heights. We're here for a purpose. To share the good news of the hope of Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. Matthew 5:14, a scripture many of you know. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Another place says he's the light of the world. Here he says, Aaron's the light of the world. Dave's the light of the world. Amanda's the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And if you're set on a city set on a hill can't be hid. You cannot be hidden. But man, we do a good job of hiding these lights, don't we? I mean, if I read it, you can't hide a city on a hill. You can't hide it. Well, how is it that you could be working in a place for so long and they don't even know that you're a follower of Jesus? What does that tell you? right? That man, that your light is under a bushel, as the following scripture would say. So, man, God, help us. Help us catch this, Lord. Man, we are here specifically to reach the people around us. He's placed us here. He's placed you where you are. All right? And again, keep it simple. Keep the simplicity and power of a simple invitation. The early disciples didn't know what they were getting into. They just were curious. There's people around you that are seeking, and they're curious. And this is why, listen, this is why we do the Pittsburgh mission trip. The Pittsburgh mission trip we do, it's coming up in 10 days. We do this to inspire people, to encourage people, to strengthen you, all of us, to be able to invite people and invite to be part of reaching people for the kingdom of God. That is the purpose. You want inspiration, you want to be around people and catch that spirit that they have. This, we're inviting you to come. Okay, it's a Thursday night. It's a Friday day and a Saturday day. Okay, if you can only make part of it, come and talk to us. All right, you can see, because here's the thing, remember, it's so easy for us to be like the people in the parable of Luke 14 and say, I can't do it, I'm too busy, I got just too much going on. Maybe next time, maybe 12 months from now. See, if this is serious, if you see that this call of God to be a light, if you take it as real, you have to change your schedule. And again, when was the last time you changed your calendar for the purposes of God? When was the last time you changed your schedule for God's purposes? Or do you make your schedule and then see where God fits? Because we do that all the time in America. Well, I'm gone A, B, C, D weekends. Can't do anything. Who's really in charge of that calendar, right? So again, so there's a challenge. There is a challenge there. There's a challenge. But I challenge you, get signed up. It's $25. Come and be inspired. Actually, Jay and Rachel are going to be sharing. Jay and Rachel, put your hands up over there. They're going to be sharing on Friday morning about how the Lord's using them with everyday evangelism, right? That they'll be part of the team sharing. But I challenge you, as I look at eyes, challenge you, put yourself in position to be stretched by God. Put yourself in that place. Again, because there's such excitement in being able to be active in doing things for Him. And the simple power of an invitation. Doug Shear is going to be leading this team. I'm going to be there. He's going to be leading it. They got things planned. Him and Jay have things planned. Come, all right? Do it now. Do it now. We want to fill the house. You know, in closing, you know, we all know what it's like to get a wedding invitation. Thanks. Give me that last slide. Okay. Well, you're invited to a banquet. Okay. You're invited to a banquet. That banquet is God is the one throwing the party. Okay. Now the question is, are you attending? Are you attending or are you too busy? And how many are coming with you? How many are coming with you? How many are you inviting to the banquet of God? And that banquet happens every Sunday, happens in coffee shops and homes all week long around here as we get together to celebrate Him and grow in Him. All right? So again, that's the question. Are you coming? Are you coming to the banquet? Are you pursuing God? And how many are you going to bring with you? Every one of us has people that we could invite into this environment to have an experience with God. Every one of us. I want you to consider for a moment, who can you invite? Just consider, in your own mind, who needs to have an experience with God? Who needs a spiritual experience? Who do you know? Let it roll through your mind. Okay, let's pray for them right now. Lift them up to God. Let's just pray. Now, I don't care if it's 1, 2, 3, 4 names, whatever. Name them. Say, God, I'm giving these people to you. I'm giving them to you. Father, empower me to be a city on a hill. Empower me to be bold with simple invitation. That I could just say to them, come and see. come and see, whether it be Sunday morning, whether it be a men's meeting like this evening, whether it be to coffee with a friend. Come and see. Who are the people? Invite. That's what Jesus did. That's what the apostles did. We want a culture of invitation here, same way we have a culture of hospitality. Thank you, Father. Amen? Okay, you got to make that happen. Now, if you're here today and you look at, put up that last slide, please, Josh. The invitation slide, please. If you're here today and you don't know if you're going to the banquet because you don't think you've ever made that commitment, if you don't have a day that you said, I'm making this commitment to Jesus Christ, if you don't have a day where you say, okay, this is it, he's the one I'm going to follow, if you don't have that day, all right, today's your day. Don't have to leave here without knowing that you're part of the banquet table. You're invited into God's house, but you have to respond. If there's anyone here that has not made that commitment, you don't have a day and time that this is when I made that commitment. Again, I give you the invitation to raise your hand and come and see the reality of Jesus Christ. Is there anyone that needs to do that? I just want you to raise your hand. Come and see. Don't hesitate. Come and see the reality of who Jesus is. That's what we're here for. That's what we live for in this context. Come and see. All right then. So you have an assignment now. When Larissa was praying, she said we have to know our assignment daily. You have an assignment to pray for those people. An assignment to pray for those people that were in your mind. And you have an assignment to invite them. Invite them to investigate. Invite them to come and see the reality of Jesus Christ. Amen?